Bible says the message of the cross is
foolishness.
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 Foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Well, guys, what is going on? This is Brian Sumner. Welcome to the Foolishness Podcast, episode 89. I hope you've been getting blessed to the start of this year. We had a bunch of heavy hitters on. We unpacked a variety of things. That is definitely my goal here. You might hear skaters sometimes or fighters or whatever, and mums, dads, all the rest. But my goal is that you would just see Christianity expressed through the lives of many. And today my guests are a fairly newlywed couple. They both skate. They both have various ministries they've been involved in over the years. And Dave has been a sponsored skater for some time now, and even a skate snow guy, whatever that means, he'll unpack it. But my goal today is inviting them on to talk about how we can live bolder as Christians in whatever realm we live in. And also, and this is going to be for some of the grandparents and parents, even those who are young enough to be, well, almost getting married. I want to unpack their story of how they met, got engaged, and even led me to perform the wedding ceremony. So Dave and Emma Engera, how's it going?
Good.
It's going good, man. Thank you for having us, man. It's an honor, really.
Yeah.
Well, I've known you guys long enough. I mean, I haven't known you since you've got this, for those on YouTube, this kind of caterpillar thing growing on your face. But is that you're doing, Emma?
Yeah.
For those listening online, Dave has a very strong mustache, and we were joking that we're thankful he doesn't drive a van.
It feels so, I'll like forget that I have it, and then I'm like walking by the mirror, and it just feels so like almost like there's two people.
We don't get masks on all the time now, so I'm always like, nobody knows he has
Oh,
masks.
Yeah.
I see you got it going too. Like, it's kind of, here in Michigan, like the winter, it's just kind of cool to, you know, I'm going to grow the beard out for a while. And I had it going for like 3.5 months. It was kind of the longest I've ever had any facial hair, really. And then
yeah,
the other day, I'm just like, man, I'm just kind of getting tired of it. And she,
I was like, we're going to shave it.
Let's just do.
Like,
so we were playing around with it. Like, that's weird. And then now I'll have this for a little bit. But
so it's more about your manhood than anything, right?
I guess, yeah. I guess I'm like pretty inspired by like Dakota Serbold and Leo. Like, they have like the best mustaches. So,
well, I can't grow a beard. It just fluffs on the edges, so my wife cannot stand it. But I shave it, I have a pretty bad like handlebar mustache. Maybe I'll do it for the next episode.
Yeah,
but but where are you guys then? You said you're in Michigan right now?
Yep, we live in Kalamazoo. I'm originally from near Detroit, Michigan. And
okay.
Then I moved here in 2012, mm-hmm. and then after we got married, she moved up here from Austin, Texas. So
yep.
We got married in October 2019, and then she moved up here, and this is our humble abode now. We love it here. I graduated from school, and I knew while going to school that I just would want to continue living here.
Mm-hmm.
She was willing to leave the heat for the cold here, but
willing to leave Texas and all those guns for Michigan. Well, there's plenty of guns there.
I was one of those people that was like, I'll never leave Texas. Like, mm-hmm. And then, you know, I fell in love and God said move. And I was like,
well, I met you when you were way younger, Emma, and
we can
unpack some of that in a bit. But so you guys are in Michigan and you kind of both have your eyes on various ministries. Cause I know, just both of you kind of unpack those sides, because Emma, for you, obviously, and your family, who I've known for years, you know, you guys mm-hmm. were out doing a lot of skate ministry at skate parks, and your dad, Lyle, and the whole crew, you know, mom and brother. And then obviously Dave having a lot of sponsors now. You're these two, this almost power couple, and I mean Holy Spirit power couple, you know, to say it like that, who has got a great platform just to reach out to people, engage them. So you're planted. What's it looking like ministry-wise?
So yeah, we're planted at a church here in Kalamazoo, and a lot of our friends at skate, they're a part of a church too. And when I first met you and met Emma, because I met you on, I think, a Friday, then I met her the next day at the contest.
In Texas,
yeah. That was my first trip ever with ministry, with skate ministry.
Hmm.
And that was through Malchus Skateboard Ministries, which yep. is based out of Oklahoma. So I actually kind of have a chapter of that Malchus Midwest in Michigan here.
Yep.
And then you want to tell them about
Yeah, we are a church called Freedom, and mm-hmm. our friend's father is the pastor. So it's just a big melting pot. Like, all of our skater friends are there, but then there's lots of families and stuff. And so we have Malchus Midwest here, and then I've been with 180 for a long time, which is out of Florida. Yep. And then 180 Girls Skate, which is just more focused on like young girl skaters, which like I love all of them. You know, mm-hmm. Tim walking on the aisle, like I've been a part of them for a long time. And then whatever my parents are doing, it was called like Soul. Now they're kind of like don't have a name or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, my parents have been doing ministry full steam for 15 plus years. So whatever they're doing, we're obviously always supporting and a part of. So yeah. And then Michigan really has a lot of skate ministries, which is really so awesome. And so it's really just, helping each other out. So anytime there's an event, you know, we're there, or anytime we do anything, they're there. So it's, there's a lot of support up here, which has been a huge blessing. A lot of fellowship with other skate ministries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm saying that because even when I first came to faith, you know, one of the states to me that was the most evangelistic was Texas. I get the whole, you know, Texas is everything bigger, but all I knew of Texas was, you know, the heat, trucks, and guns when I would travel, you know, as a guy from England. But then when I came to faith, there would always be this like fiery guy at the church who's like, man, skate ministry, and my pastor's on board, and we'll fly you out and this person out. So Emmer, it was your dad, your mom, and obviously your brother, but you guys had a ministry where you would just go to skate parks, take some old boards sometimes, or get donated some. Or your dad would spray paint graphics on grip tapes and stuff, and you would go to the parks and just hang out, give out waters, give out pizzas, engage. And what was that like for you seeing that happen? Because what I'm getting to is you were kind of trained up in the way you should go as a teenager, which allowed you to avoid a lot of the junk out there. We can get into your marriage story in a bit, but what was that like being raised, you know, with very cool parents, but who were focused on the Lord? And it was amazing.
Definitely privileged. My parents are awesome. And they, you know, when I was about 5 or 6, my parents first, I guess, could start skate ministry. I don't think we even knew that that's what it was at the time. Mm-hmm. But there was no skate parks in where we lived in Texas, which was like Cedar Park right outside of the city, Austin. And so we had just started going to this church, and my parents were like, okay, if we're here, we need to be plugged in. We need to kind of find our way to serve. And my parents were like, I don't know what to do. And they're like, well, let's start a skate park at the church on the weekends, because there's nowhere for these kids to skate. You know, my parents met skateboarding, so I've always been, like, grew up going to spots with my parents. And so they just got some ramps, and, like, we'd set them up every Saturday. And that was what we did. And I would make lemonade, and I'd sit at a table, like, 5 years old, you know, like, bossing people around, thinking I knew what I was doing. Which, you know, Johnny Pinner, that he was one of the kids that came to the skate park. So there's a ton of relationships from that, like, are still here today. So that was really like the start of it for my parents. And then just, you know, that door closed and God would open another one. And so, we met when we were with, Extol, which we basically, my dad and I would just go to the Goodwills and kind of, you know, there's, parents with a lot of money that buy their kids a skateboard, their kid loses interest, and really great, you know, full deck gets donated to Goodwill. So we'd go and get whatever we could. And if it was a little worn, we'd sand it down, repaint it, you know, make custom grip, just take an ice chest of like water and snacks and just go skate and kind of be like, hey, this is here if you need it. And it sparked all kinds of conversation and just loving on the community really was our ministry, because in Austin particularly, there's a few years that was a lot of suicides in the skate community, or just like overdoses and stuff like that. And that really was like, this has to change. Like, this is just like, it's a heartbroken community that just needs, like, ultimately needs the love of God, but like, it just needs to be loved on. And so that's just what we did. We would just go and we'd hang out, and we'd be, you know, for the young men or just men, my dad would be a shoulder to cry on, someone to call, you know, my dad, you'd call him at like 3 a.m. and be like, I need you to get me to Spain. He'd do it somehow. Like, he'd drop everything he's doing. So he was that. And then obviously my heart was more towards you know, the girls that I saw skating, just kind of making sure that they were comfortable, because being a girl at a skate park is uncomfortable regardless a lot of the time, but especially like it's your first time stepping on a board. It's so intimidating going to like a skate park.
You're going to slam anyway, probably. Right. This guy's watching.
Yeah. So
what's her style like? What kind of board does she have?
Yeah. So yeah, you step into a skate park as a girl and you're immediately getting like all these, you know, you're getting judgment put on you. It's a really just kind of being there, being a friend and being like, oh, like you could totally go down this ramp. Let me hold your hands. Like just hanging out, getting their Instagram. Mm-hmm. Just making friends and just loving on them. And when people saw us, they knew like, oh, that's like Stoll, you know, our
I would extol the name of the Lord. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Love God, love people, love skateboarding is what we kind of was our saying. And it was on all of our stuff. So they knew they're like, oh, you know, that's like Stoll. They love God. They love people and they love skateboarding. So that really, I've been in ministry for a really, really long time.
Well, I want people to hear that because, you know, when I'm coming to faith and I'm going, I for years I've said, man, I didn't realize there was all these ministries because all these ministries didn't realize they were ministries. They were mom and dads who were like, we know skaters. We love the grungy kids at the park or the kids with piercings or the kids, you know, listening to the heavier music. That's kind of the public's view of skating, but really that's just people trying to find their identity. So I would get flown in, show up to a place. I'd go somewhere with like, you know, your dad or someone, and he would know a bunch of the guys at the skate park. Then they'd be like, why is Brian here? This is when I obviously first came to faith and I was more around the magazines and videos. And then they would say, wait a minute. And what they didn't realize they were watching was, I guess God is doing something with all these people. So they might say, oh, here's these Christians, extol. But I'll tell you, over the decades I've been involved in this kind of ministry, the amount of times per week I will get messages from someone from years ago, last week, oh man, I wish you were doing extol again. Oh man, I wish this. Oh man. And these kids came to park that day. If a church gets behind it, throws some money into it, gets the local bakery or ice cream place or pizza place to come out and donate food, have a daily event, have a best trick contest. The kids are seeing connections are made. Well, how is that church? Well, that's just people, community with people. That's what it's all about. So you've been raised in that. And naturally you're someone that is very outward. You like people, you engage people. You've always been able to charm, you know, the young girls who were intimidated at the skate park and suddenly there's Emma over there. And then for you, Dave, you were raised in the faith, but when did you really kind of come alive and maybe let us know what it was like from there to now? Cause you have how many sponsors now? I mean, what's your status as a skater now?
Man, it's weird talking about like my status.
I don't use that word status. It's kind of funny saying it. Yeah.
I ride for Sovereign Skateboards. I ride for Pyramid Country Clothing, Flow for Vans, which I think me and you both get shoes from Matt B.
Okay. You know, Jude just gets them and then Matt just sends me what I need.
Oh, sure, man. He's killing it. He's awesome.
When you grew up with Jeff Rowley, it makes it very easy. And when you knew them all when they were Groms and like, hey, and here's the thing. I have gotten sent so many other kinds of shoes over the years. And I loved riding for audio, you know, and I rode for Airwalk way back. But Vans, from everything from skating to hanging out to preaching, they just work. So there you go. So yeah, you get shoes off Vans, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously teammates with you for Embrace, and then Bro Style, and then I ride for Ambition Snow Skates in the winter. I mean, I kind of had the total opposite upbringing. I mean, I was raised in a Christian home. We went to a Presbyterian church every Sunday. I was like the acolyte as a kid, and like whatever that is, you know, I'd carry the candle in a gigantic Bible, like, and I'd have a, you know, long, like, white robe, you know, and for me, like, growing up, it was very just almost, you know, and I'm not trying to dog on Presbyterian at all or anything, but to me, it was very similar to almost like the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
Just super ritual-based, and when I turned 18 and I moved away here, I was pretty happy to be done going there, you know, and my parents kept asking me, you know, he'd call me like, have you found a church yet? Have you plugged in? But I was definitely viewing, I'd say I definitely would have, if someone were to ask me, you know, do you believe in God? I'd be like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. because I was raised in that. And I believe that God exists,
you know,
and that Jesus walked the earth. You know, I believe in Jesus. But looking back, I was not a Christian because I didn't even know the gospel, the real gospel, you know. I was confirmed in the church and everything. And it really took a few years of being here until I actually met my buddy Peter, who he is the son of our pastor. And Peter was also, he stood in the wedding, amazing skateboarder. But I met him, and then, man, I'm just so thankful for that session, because we got talking about God, and he invited me to church. And I remember feeling almost kind of like a guilt, like, man, I've been like, my dad's been asking me, you know, if I found a church, maybe I should just go. And then once I went there and actually, you know, decided to take a look into the Bible for once on my own.
Yeah.
I think I went to like a family Christian bookstore and bought like a King James Bible. And like, I just opened it randomly to,
was it heavy?
And I just was reading, and then I'm like, man, this is really hard to understand. You know, like I was in probably like Numbers or something. But I remember this was like the time where God really was just starting to like steer me toward Christ. And I pulled up on YouTube a Billy Graham sermon, and it was just, who is Jesus? And I watched that, and like for the first time, when he talked about, you know, Christ was on the cross for us. Mm-hmm. And when you put your faith in him, just like when you sit down in a chair, you don't test out the chair beforehand. You just sit in it and you put your full weight on the chair. Once I understood the true gospel, it like clicked.
Yeah.
And it took that video, and like, yeah, I mean, I can't give you an exact date, but like that happened. And then from there, God just started putting people into my life in skateboarding that just, you know, and I had never even heard of skateboard ministry really ever. And then when I got put on Embrace, Jonathan over at Malchus invited me to be a chaperone for that trip, just to kind of help out the kids and all that. And, you know, through Pyramid Country and Birdhouse and stuff, I've traveled a lot with skating, but I never have actually been on a Christian skate trip before.
Yeah. And by true gospel, Dave isn't saying that Billy Graham said, hey, the way you come to faith is by thinking of a chair and sitting in it. And that's trusting God. He obviously means that Billy Graham preached the gospel. You're a sinner, Dave, and maybe you're riding on the coattails of your parents' faith. And hey, you are 18. You've been doing, you know, you leave the home to almost become someone different. Someone just messaged me this today with, the reason why you need to get out and live your life often is because the way you've been raised has shaped who you are. And that's true. It's necessary. But until you go out and you guys own a house, or you guys begin to step into your own ministry, or you guys have children, it redefines who you are. So for you, it was perfect at 18, 19 that God began to meet you there. That's your parents' prayers, being honest. And you could have been his already, obviously, but you just hadn't recognized and understood. I'm sure you'd heard enough.
I guess I just had a really shallow I was confirmed in everything, but there was never any like elementary talk about the gospel, like laying it out there, you know, clear and, you know, so I was kind of viewing, I kind of had a view of God as what I wanted him to be, that, you know, he's okay with how I live because I'm a good guy, you know?
Yeah.
But once I understood that it's, you know, none are good, and that, you know, all are in need of forgiveness. And if you don't know that you need forgiveness, then you're not going to come to him for forgiveness, you know? And, you know, kind of like those Ray Comfort videos that you and I talk about, like, it's a really good thing to be kind of given, I guess, to be diagnosed, to then want the cure. And that's where I was at. Once I actually recognized that, you know, my standards of good were not God's standards, and that, you know, it's all about him imputing righteousness to us. Then it clicked. And then from there, you know, God is so gracious to, you know, forgive me there and to accept me. And then it kind of then steer me into the direction of where I eventually met Emma, you know, and when we first arrived.
And Jonathan. I got to throw Jonathan in here with Embrace and the Wheels, because I know he'll be
too. Jonathan is definitely, God has really placed him in my life to be just such a great mentor to me. And,
awesome.
And I'm so thankful that he invited me on that trip. I got to meet you. I remember right when we arrived, it was really just so shocking to me because I had never seen any of this before. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm meeting like this guy makes crosses out of old boards and then this guy does artwork. And then, you know, then I met you and I met a few other people that evening. And I remember even being on that trip just in the evening, kind of almost feeling a little bit like guilty that I've been like neglecting this because I could have experienced this way sooner. You know,
we were trying to make you guilty though. We were like, let's make this no. But you know, when you're right, because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know all these things. That's the Lord. And for anyone that's listening, that's not a believer, it wasn't that Dave said, oh, now I go to church, now I'm a Christian. What he means is he had this relationship with Jesus Christ that began. Here's this kid who's talented, who's skating, and God's right away putting him around people. You haven't got to go do everything we do at all the skate parks. People do ministry in every kind of way, but here's Dave and the Holy Spirit's quickening you to say, you know what? Here's these guys, here's what they're doing. And really it's just Dad saying to you, I've got a place for you in all of this, not because of us, but because this is what I'm going to use your life for. So then you hung out with all of us, everything. I think Emma, when you first met Jonathan, I was like, hey, he says yo, so make sure you say yo to him before he says
yeah. Right? I first met Jonathan, we were at, obviously on Instagram, such like a huge thing for ministry, like yeah. So easy to connect with people and stuff. But it was one of my first times going to Rock the Desert, where I met Jonathan in person.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think you did say that to me. He's always like, what's up, yo? And like, mm-hmm. You know, Jonathan, it's kind of crazy because like you've been there for our whole relationship. Jonathan's been there our whole relationship. Tim Stork. Like, it's just, and we got to have all you guys be part of our wedding ceremony. So it's really like when we talk about like, oh, how we met and how our wedding went, it's like, wow, it really is like everything.
The church. It's together. The
ball. Yeah. Everything. It's a really beautiful picture of the church. Just like.
Yeah. And when we do tell people our story of just, you know, we can have someone over and we'll talk for like 3 hours about our story.
Right. Well, because the question, how did y'all meet? Quickly turns into it's such a thing.
And like even just the fact of like going to that, you know, being put on this team now, the Embrace Wheels that you were a part of, you know, I remember being in like fifth grade and my dad bringing home DVDs and like that, I think it was the Tale of Skateboarding or something.
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember just like watching Cryptid videos with you in it and like, you know,
probably black hair.
Yeah. And
definitely black hair.
Going from that and then meeting you. And then the very next day was when Jonathan introduced me to Emma and her dad. And I saw them right away, like just skating a quarter pipe together. And I had never even seen that before. Like a dad and his daughter skating together. So
well, you've seen all the photos in their house of her as a little Grom and dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys connect, obviously there's guys like John Hokut around, a lot of ministry stuff all out there. And then I guess we'll just jump right into it. You guys. So you guys connected a couple of these events and you obviously live a distance away. You're a young couple. And so how do you guys begin to connect? Because I'd like to think that when we look at the church today, I know out here a lot of it is you go to a big group of people and it's normally like a young adult college age thing, you know, coffee shop or a warehouse or using one of the rooms and everyone kind of goes and hangs out and it's like, oh, someone finds someone attractive and suddenly things are going on. If you're not careful from that stage through to who you think you're going to marry, you can sabotage that. You can fall into all these things. And I've seen it for years where a guy will pursue a girl. Something will happen. There'll be guilt and shame. He'll do it again. So how did you guys from the start basically court that led to an engagement and a marriage?
So we met at Skate It Up 2017. You were skating. You weren't a judge yet. That was the next year, but you were a judge. And I think like Beaver was or something. And so we briefly met. Like Jonathan was like, Dave, this is Emma, this is Dave. And this is my aunt. Like, I remember his aunt was there, and I was like, oh, nice to meet you. And
it was like a quick, hey, how are you type thing. Like, that was it.
I had seen him on, you know.
It was kind of like we could have talked more, but then all of a sudden, like,
it was like
being introduced to his aunt, too. It was kind of like, well, hey, like, nice to meet you. And then, like, that was it. And it was kind of like a quick thing.
Yeah.
And then.
I knew he was from, like, Instagram and stuff. I
mean, yeah. So you were met with challenges right away. I mean, it could have unfolded that day, but there we go.
So I was pretty nervous to talk to him, so I wasn't about to even try. You know, I think right after that, I went and messed with you because you're eating a hot dog, and I was like, I'm going to tell Tracy you're eating a hot dog. Oh, yeah. And then, like,
it was so hot, too.
Oh, you know, it was boiling. I just went and was passing out stickers and shirts and whatever else, you know, just kind of talking to parents, hanging out. And I remember he was going to compete and he was rolling up to the rail. It was the down rail that I was on. And I remember he just looked like he was going to roll up to it to look at it. And then he just like hopped down. And I remember looking at my dad from like across the park and we were like, this guy's crazy. Like, who is this guy? And so I think we talked like once after that, he like rolled by and I was like, hey, good run, dude. And that was like,
so just a couple times at that event, because obviously you're doing different things.
I even tried to say bye to him and he didn't hear me and it was all awkward. Like, I was like, oh, bye, Dave. And he was not listening. So
she was passing out Extol stickers and I was, you know, like checking her out and I was like looking, kind of like trying to find out like how can I like
talk really
to her, but not, I guess, I don't know. Like, so I just randomly asked her like, oh, like, how do you make those stickers? Because she took like an old like UPS label and like made a sticker.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean, well, you didn't really care about how she made them. You just wanted to talk.
No, yeah, and I knew exactly because my friend makes them the same way. So like, I just wanted to like, you know, hey, I'm here.
Start a conversation,
and like we talked really briefly, and
super
then
super brief, and then obviously we found each other on Instagram because that's what you do after an industry event. You find everyone, mm-hmm. And it was. Nothing, it was just kind of like, he was going through some gnarly injuries, and I remember just being like, hey, how are you doing? Like, how can we pray for you? And
yeah,
I would just check in and be like, we're praying for you, like, how's it going? And just kind of little conversations like that, or just like talking about mostly skating. And then I remember on Instagram, I had seen that he was in Sarasota.
Yeah.
And so I just messaged him and I was like, hey, there's a really cool ministry out there that I do work with. Like, you should hit them up, like, go hang out. His name's Tim. This is the church it's at. And I texted Tim and I was like, hey, Dave and his friends are in Sarasota. Y'all should meet. Y'all should get together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the church. So my family has a condo in Sarasota. And this was about 2 months after we met.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been going to the condo every year to go film and just. During this time I was actually hurt. So I was just kind of the filmer of the trip and she reached out and she's like, you should go check out this ministry. And I typed it in and it literally was 2 minutes away from the condo at a church that we used to skate at, like at night. Like, oh, cool. I've been there before. Like, I used to skate, and that was before I even came to skate too. So like I went there, I met Tim, super cool dude. He like gave my buddy a board after he broke his. And it was so, like, I remember thinking, like, what are the chances of that?
Yeah.
Like, I've been, you know, like, she's involved with a ministry in Sarasota, and my family has a condo right down the street. It was all kind of.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, we kind of, like, saw each other.
Could I start playing some, like, romantic music when we air this right now?
Oh, good. Yeah.
Like, and drop hearts and everything. So,
right.
But you guys were both at the time then. I was going to ask you this in one of the questions. You were both serious about your faith. I mean, you had relationships with Jesus. You had your own times where you were pursuing him daily and saying, Lord, what are you doing? I say that because, you know, over and over in the Bible, like we're told, 2 Corinthians 6:14, Paul says, do not be unequally yoked. And yes, he's talking about the world because, you know, the world's going to want to do things for the wrong reason. They're going to pursue money, agendas, businesses. They're even going to pursue a wife potentially for the wrong reason. So, as you guys were doing this, just getting to know each other, carry on with the story, but what were the kind of gauges that God was showing you, like, hey, I know we're equally yoked here? And for those listening, a yoke is where you would take two bison or oxen or whatever animals, and you would put a huge wooden beam around their back, and they would till the ground. And if one walks too far ahead or one walks way behind, they end up going in circles and there's no progress. And Jesus gives us this idea in scripture of being equally yoked. You know, we're on the same page today with this podcast. The church in America should be on the same page with whoever God puts in office. We're going to pray for that person and just lift up the Lord and live our life anyway. So for you guys, though, I mean, you're equally yoked, hanging out at home, married now. But what was that journey like that you saw for couples who were just getting to know each other? So,
like, for the first, we met in 2017, and it wasn't, like, for a while where it was, like, an option, really. I don't think we were even really thinking of a relationship or pursuing. Our conversations were not flirtatious in the least. Like, especially growing up in ministry, I'm very careful with the way I talk to especially men, because I never want anything to even be able to be assumed. You know
what
I mean?
So when he said, how do you make those stickers? You were like, just like this, bro, back off.
Yeah, exactly. No, well, I'm just kind of, I called him dude for like probably the first 3 years we knew each other. Because yeah. I was like, I don't ever want to put myself in a situation where somebody can look in and say, oh, well, you know, this is sinful. You know what I mean? This is not okay. So I just really learned to completely avoid that. And again, growing up in ministry and with parents who are in ministry, seeing how they, deal with those type of situations. We both got invited to help with a camp for 180. Mm-hmm.
This is 6 months after I first met Tim. Mm-hmm. So this is in the summer of 2018. We got invited Tim reached out to me and asked me if I'd volunteer to help out with this camp.
Yep.
And then I remember being told that Lyle, her dad, was also invited. And then I talked with Lyle and he was like, oh, I think I might bring my family.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I can host you guys at the condo. Perfect. And I remember thinking, like, this is like a perfect opportunity to like get to know. Obviously, it's funny because I talked with Lyle like regularly.
They were like friends before we were friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right away after meeting him, people can just feel so comfortable around him and like close. And every time that I'd be posting about like my ankle surgery that I had or any issues with skating or like a new part would drop, he'd be like the first one like posting about it and just telling me that he was praying and everything. And then Emma, I would talk to her. And then when I found out that they were going to that, when they also were invited to the camp, I was really looking forward to that because I just thought, oh, this is a perfect chance to get to know him more.
Yeah, I think that was amazing. We were both kind of like, oh, this is, now I can kind of get to ask questions, because it was like, he was at a ministry event. That's cool. That doesn't tell me anything about his walk with Christ. That doesn't tell me anything about his doctrine. So I'm not going to like get my hopes up and start being like all giddy about something where I have no idea. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so then,
just for people to know, this is huge, right? I mean, how many people even talk about doctrine when they're thinking about meeting someone? I'm not saying it's like, do you speak in tongues or not? Are you reformed or not? I get it. Those things matter to an extent to certain people, but it is important because you're about to potentially make the biggest decision of your life.
I mean,
everything else in your life, who you're married to, you don't marry them because you want to get divorced. And who you get divorced from, you're fighting over kids, you're selling a house, you're resenting someone, it's hurtful, it's painful, you know? So you were trying to be cautious, and there was no one's aunt around to get in the way, so this was perfect.
Well, again, like being just super blessed and super privileged to have my parents, I grew up with them, they are just like so in love with each other, to the max. To the point of growing up, it was like, you guys are so annoying, like, stop. But like, and then also watching, because they came to faith when I was about one and a half. So watching them fall in love with Christ and fall in love with serving others and doing the tiniest things with so much love, like taught me so much about how to live life and how to serve and love my neighbor and stuff. But also, you know, they got into youth ministry from skate ministry. Yeah. Our church was like, all these skaters are coming to the church and they're seeing you're not here and they're leaving. So we need you to come into the youth like group. Wow. And they still became the youth leaders through that. So I saw a lot of mentoring relationships and courting and relationships that had had obstacles and things like that, I got to see a lot of examples of things growing up because my parents were, you know, doing marriage counseling for all these people and for people from broken marriages to all these things. I had a lot of examples, good and bad, to see, to kind of have a plan of action when it came to,
I don't want to go down those roads. Yeah.
Exactly. And one of those things that is just funny because I read your book whenever I was single. I think I was in high school. I think I was like a sophomore. So I even pulled mine out, mine's the old cover, and it's pretty worn. Got a lot of coffee stains and stuff.
People that get it, that's what it ends up looking like. When they get hooked, they rip it to bits. Yeah, good. Well, that's why you write it.
It's even signed from one of the times we were hanging out. I was flipping through before we got on here. I had all these prayers in here for my future husband and like asking God to prepare me a man who's on fire and in love and has a like a heart
mustache
escaping and has an awesome mustache.
People are gonna think like, oh, it's a regular thing. It's a mustache.
It's what? But
it's not a regular thing. But.
It will be now though. Yeah. So you had these good boundaries up, and then I say that because you guys might be familiar with Greg Laurie out here, you know, and he jokes when he preaches on marriage and he says, you know, I've been married to 5 different women. And what he means is his wife has gone through 5 different stages. The mustache isn't that much of a stage. It's kind of like an add-on. But you're going to see there's these stages. You're in this kind of honeymoon stage. Then now you've got your home going, whatever God does with kids. There'll be seasons of, you know, abundance. There'll be seasons of scarcity as all those things happen. And then I've always looked at it, and I don't think it's talked about a lot, only really behind closed doors. You know, you think about something like puberty, it's crazy. Suddenly you're just like this kid, and then suddenly something triggers in your body to everyone, and something changes, and suddenly all these things happen. I feel like that actually happens to people multiple times, but obviously it isn't as evident as when you're a teenager. I feel like you, whether it's a chemical dump or something you face, you know, someone sometimes around 28, sometimes around 35, then you get into the 40s, then I think by the time you're like 55, 60, you're kind of just going to coast and be like, all right, I'm done with my drama. But it is important that you start, as we said, not being unequally yoked where you're grounded. So how does this begin to I'm trying to just have people who listen say, you want to be cautious. You might think someone's pretty or handsome. You might think, you know, it all fits in and works together. And someone has said to me, well, why would I wait if I already have these emotions? Well, because you want to be patient before you have a marriage so you can be a good steward of patience in the marriage. That will solve a lot of problems to be. So
I think I was going in with some pretty hard lines, you know what I mean? And so I had some high standards, but we went in and it was really just skating and serving and hanging out. And just, I think we spent so much time just like laughing at the stupidest stuff, you know, like,
yeah. And going into it, I didn't know, you know, about, I guess, you know, the trip was, you know, we do the camp in the morning and then we'd go out with the VX and we'd be filming after, you know, at street spots. And I didn't even know what to expect really. Cause I knew her and her dad skated and her family was just, you know, they've been skateboarding for their whole lives, but I didn't know, like, there's so many different types of skating. So like when they came out, it was so natural. Like it was so fun. And like, we were like going to street spots, like getting our names taken by the cops and stuff. And I really felt like her mom and like her family felt immediately like my family. And I just felt so comfortable. And we were just all like at the end of the first day, just all family, really. And
probably already making jokes, right? Probably already like, oh, hey.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, we were not very, very flirtatious at all. Again, just being cautious and being in ministry. Also, though, you know, we have an age gap. We're 6 years apart. And so that was kind of like, there's no way he's interested.
And then the distance of like Michigan and Texas.
Right.
Too.
Like he lives in Michigan. Yeah. He's like probably like super close to being a pro skater. I like am just this girl 6 years younger than him, like not going to college, you know, just kind of skating and working at Whole Foods. He's not interested. And as I like kept being like, I really like him. I remember praying and being like, if this is not of you, please just like cut these feelings off, because this is like, my feelings are gonna get so hurt. Mm. Like, if it's not of you, like if this is a lustful desire or more of a desire just to, like, you know, so I remember just praying that whole trip, because it was like every day I was like, oh, I like him so much more, like the more time I spend with him.
But you went flirting, yeah?
No, not.
You were starting to obviously have conversation and probably smile at each other and get right, to know each other.
Like smiling or like kind of having inside jokes, or he'd be like, you should sit in the front seat, like, you know, stuff like that. But it wasn't ever like, oh, stop it. No, like nothing
well,
like
well, because
that.
I remember your dad. I was talking to him at the time. I remember he goes, you know what's funny is we're down here with Dave and, you know, this. And he's like, man, and they've actually started connecting. And I don't know if you guys were fully, you obviously weren't talking about like a relationship yet, but I know your dad noticed. But Emma, you said something relevant then, you know, like that you were praying ahead of time, even though you've had a book, you know, the book I put out never fails, and you've wrote in it. Why wouldn't you be writing, God, bring me this kind of spouse? So long as you're also saying, the Lord, break down the parts of me to be a blessing to whoever this person is.
Right.
But, you know, to be calling that out, here's why that's important, is because if you read Song of Songs, that girl in that story, that maiden, she feels this way about this man, and she's saying, let him kiss me on the lips, and she's not meant to, but she's having these feelings. That's normal. You know, we can talk about lust and all the rest, don't need to today to go there, but you are going to be drawn to someone, you are going to be thinking about them, they are going to smell nice. But in Song of Songs, she keeps getting told, do not arouse or awaken love. So it's like, hey, you're having these feelings, but Emma, there's a time where you're going to put your love on this person and they're going to put their love on you, that ahava in the Hebrew. And that's the kind of love that's kept for marriage. I can love everyone, but I need to put my love on Tracy every day, you know, when it's the time of the month or when she's hurt, when she's frustrated, when I've said stupid things, when she has. That's that kind of ahava and agape love, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the agape love, you know, a new command I give you, love one another. That's this agape love that we read in the New Testament, but the ahava of the old. So you're already starting to think, okay, I'm going to camp today. I like this. Go on. Yeah. I'm just trying to chime in nuggets to help people think about.
Very much guarding my heart, because again, I've grown up seeing my mom consoling so many girls who had a broken heart or who were pregnant and their child no longer had a father because the guy up and walked out, and they said, oh, they said that they were going to marry me, and you know, they're gone. So I grew up seeing all of these things. So I had, you know, walls built up, and I was not a very vulnerable person, which is something that being married, he has helped me, you know, become vulnerable. Because I was pretty hard.
Yeah. So you're outgoing face value, but when it comes down to you inside, you hold that special. Yeah.
Right. And then we found out later that my mom, after like the first couple of days, had told my dad, oh, she's going to marry Dave. And I remember I was like, when she told me, I was like, why didn't you tell me? I was like, you know how much inner turmoil I was having, like praying, like, God, please. But mom, you know, mom saw it and she called it like the first day, which is, she didn't tell us till later on, obviously. But yeah, so that whole trip. And I remember we were saying goodbye at the airport, and it was kind of, you know, my dad's crying, and you know, and I'm like, man, like this was so much fun, and like, this is really going to kind of see like, okay, God, if this is meant to be, like 6 years apart, a whole other side of the country, if this is going to work, it's got to be through you, because if we try to make this work ourselves, it's going to be a disaster. And so we said bye, we had exchanged numbers on the trip just for like practical use. And then he like sent me a picture. We were with Matt. I'm going to butcher his last name.
Ray Miller.
Yeah. I would say Red Miller. He was on the trip, and we got to our separate gates, and he like sent me a picture of Matt like laying on the ground or something. So still just making jokes. And then we haven't stopped talking since that day.
Yeah.
That text was the text. We talked every day.
Well, you kind of fast forward through a lot of stuff then. So Dave, obviously in Song of Songs, we even see the man does begin to pursue her. How did you navigate? Okay, I know her parents. I want to go about this in a godly way. What happened?
Yeah. So coming home, like right away, it just, we actually just started doing like a Bible study over the phone.
Yeah. We still hadn't said like, I like you, let's pursue relationship or any of that. It was still just...
It was just talking, yeah. But, like, we both kind of knew... Like, it wasn't being said, but we were both thinking it, you know, and, like, we were doing Bible study. We were going through, like, Hebrews on the phone.
You win in Song of Songs, no?
We did that once we started dating, yeah. Not right away.
So, like, then, like, it would be, you know, phone calls in the evening, and then it turned into, like, FaceTime, and then I knew that I wanted to come out there and, like, spend time with her and her family. And, you know, I remember her dad joining in on the conversations and we were trying to kind of figure out like a time and I just was living, huh?
Well, you told me you liked me first. Mm-hmm. I remember he just said, you know, I have to tell you this because like, we need to know where to go from here. Like, you know, I really like you and stuff, you know, I really like you too. Let's take this very slow and be very prayerful about this so that nobody ends up getting hurt. You know what I mean? Let's make sure this isn't the flesh. And so, then my birthday was coming up and I remember I asked my parents, I was like, would you be okay if I invited Dave to come out for my birthday? We usually just go out and skate and have ice cream or whatever. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. And so,
yeah. And, it was crazy because I remember we were looking into like that weekend specifically and I was just, you know, like living by myself in a one bedroom apartment, kind of just working and then just making enough to like pay the bills and then like, you know, go on skate trips. But I was never like really saving for specific things. But I remember we prayed about it like one night, like, okay, well, if I'm meant to come out this weekend, then we'll both wake up and we're going to pray right now. And you know, it is coming up this weekend. So we want like guidance, you know, if this is the right thing to do. And we prayed and then I woke up and before work, I checked on Travelocity and the price went down from like $100 to like 80. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I think I'm going to do it. So,
that was our fleece. And that was our answer.
I was just going to say the fleece joke. Yeah. So God had to deal with someone in Travelocity to get you in.
Right.
Like Elijah's chariot, it outrun the prices. Okay. Yeah. And I remember your dad telling me that too. Okay. So then now you're out there.
Yeah. And that was like, okay, so now we're together. We like each other. Mm-hmm.
This is 2017 now or still
2018 in September. And then at the end of the trip, I remember we all went out to eat and that was kind of when Lyle and Irma were just like, so like, what do you do to pay the bills? You know, like we all kind of knew like, all right, like they were pretty much asking, like, like, are you able to support her? You know? And, you know,
because they were thinking, obviously if you're going to court and you're talking this much, you're looking at potentially this because, you know, I mean, I know both you guys. I mean, Emma's always been a sweetheart when you're at the skate park and with your family and running around hanging out with people. Dave always been very humbly serious, like trying to plan things and do that. But now we're like if you were my kids, okay.
Yeah.
Let's be practical. Had you guys thought about the potential for marriage yet? I mean, were you even courting really? Like, yes, you were.
Yeah. Yeah. And like right after that trip, I already started setting aside money for the ring. Like I knew like this is who I've been praying for so many years.
Wow.
And all my friends like knew it too. Like they just were so like, they were so stoked because they hadn't really seen me, I guess with somebody that like, they knew that this was an answer to prayer for so many years. And when they were just hearing about how incredible Emma was and her family, it was like, okay, like it's just a matter of time now.
I think we both knew kind of another reason we wanted to take it so slow was like, there's no point in doing this if the end goal isn't marriage. There is no point in wasting time and creating baggage. If this is not who my future husband is, then why would I create obstacles for my husband in the future? Because you never leave any type of relationship without some sort of baggage that has to be unpacked and has to be dealt with when it comes to your marriage. And so, again, super thankful that we both went in with that mindset.
Yeah.
We kind of knew like, all right, if we're going to do this, then the end goal is forever.
And that's after talking about that, that's when we got your book. You know, she already had a copy. You sent me a copy. And then from there, we just, our Bible study FaceTime turned into going through your book and we were going through that. And, we went back to Florida in November of that year. And that's when
we officially talked about marriage.
And that's when we were like, okay, like are you moving here or am I moving there? And then she was like, I'll move up to Michigan.
I know, you're great about it.
Yeah. Wow. And like, I was like, wow, like this is amazing. And,
but guys, as you say this, this is important. And I want you to chime in on this. You listen to what's on TV and the music and all the stuff today. And most women, even it's gone to a place where they don't even want to settle down because they're almost afraid to give themselves over to a man. And why would they want to when men are being trained on whether it's music or culture or whatever, you know, trust no one, stick it up for yourself, all the rest of it. So it is really important, Emma, that you've emphasized this, but to have this covering of a man who's, like Dave said, thinking about your parents, thinking about saving money, thinking about the future. All that time he had to think about that, he now is invested in, and is why you're sitting there next to him, you know, smiling at him. I don't doubt you don't chase him down the stairs sometimes, or a door gets slammed once in a while. I get it. You know, marriage is marriage, but the woman is put in a place to have that covering of a man. And I'll tell you, I feel my identity the most when, yes, I'm in the Lord, but I can look at my family and fight for that and cover them. And even on my worst, I still feel like, man, I want what's best for them. And likewise for a woman that's receiving that. So you guys in that journey, really, I just wanted to make that point, people listening, is that that's what's robbed of the world today. I listen to some of this like modern hip hop that will come out. I don't really like hip hop, but I'm saying I'll see some of these songs people send me and say, man, what do you even think of this? And now it's where even women are like, they're afraid to even trust someone because they've been banned so much. Or guys won't give a woman the kind of love that he wishes he could because he's been taken advantage of. And once you get broken or wounded like that, like you're saying with your mom, you know, she's unpacking these stories, these horror stories, you're like, man, I just want to honor God. I want the two to become one. And as we're cleft together, we live out this life serving him. And then the fights and the problems and the issue you have, they're growing pains. We can deal with that. But when you don't have that maturity, everything gets shaken. There's pain, there's hurt, there's a soul being torn. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think also, like, there's a lot of stuff in the church that is taught about marriage and about women in the church that is easily misconstrued, that becomes, like, churches taking liberty, like, to say, oh, this is what this is meant, when it's really not, like,
yeah.
I think you even talked about it in your book, like, you know, it talks about the man being the head of the family and stuff. And for a long time, that really bothered me because, again, I'm a hard-headed woman. And I was kind of like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't, you know, we're all created equal in the eyes of God. And
you are equal, yeah.
Right. And it's like, okay, so it's like, you know, Dave, you know, I look to him for direction in the marriage, trusting that God is leading him, trusting that Dave is looking towards God for direction. So it's not Dave is leading the family. Ultimately, it's God is leading the family through Dave. So it's not, I always have an issue. The church kind of sometimes puts it out as like the wife needs to put all of her faith and all of her trust in her husband, which is not the truth, because that would go terribly wrong. He's a human, you know what I mean? He's man. I'm supposed to put all of my faith and trust into Christ, that he will lead my husband to where we need to be, that he will lead my family through my husband. So I need to be in prayer and constantly lifting up my husband and encouraging him to look to Christ. And those times whenever, you know, if he's making a decision that sounds iffy, that sounds not biblical, to say, hey, why don't we pray about this a little longer, and to pray like, you know, God, this is not looking awesome. Like, I need you to step in and all this stuff. So it's God leads our family through Dave, you know?
Yeah. And it can be looked at as a negative where you're just some slave, and it's not the idea. The mindset is submission is mutual. Me and Tracy submit to God in our roles. The term housewife has been just torn apart because you're degrading a woman to just be like, well, that's all she is. And I have friends who are total, you know, feminists, and what they want to do now is stay home, raise their kids. And they love that their husband wants to go out and work. I'm like, I'm not getting involved in those battles. But the Bible talks about God, the head, Christ, the head of the church, man's the head of the home. And what that means is I'm probably going to go to my death for my family before I want my wife to. I'm going to be the guy that runs to the door. I want to make sure there's enough money. I'm already thinking about when we're 60, 65. Tracy isn't. She's taking care of her mom right now down the street. She's taking the kids around to run errands. And when people attack these roles and they miss them, and the idea that all a woman can do is be at home, you know, making sandwiches in the kitchen like she has no brain, that is not what the Bible teaches.
No, if you read about the Proverbs 31 woman, like, she is fierce. And, like,
can be trusted in the marketplace.
Absolutely. Like, her family has such a high status and their name is so highly upheld, and her husband's name is highly upheld, not because of
him,
but because of her. And yep. There's a lot of things where it's like, this is a partnership. You know what I mean? We are here to balance each other out and to lift each other up.
Yeah.
Our roles look different.
It's not good when man is alone. So for one, if David messaged me, you know, there's a lot of reasons why things could have gone wrong, but you still could have said, hey, we'll get the podcast done. But if he'd have messaged me, Emma just went off on me and went crazy and left me. I don't think he's going to be on the podcast right now, because it's not good that man is alone. So a woman has a powerful role in the marriage and the home. Absolutely. And when I'm on the same page as my wife, where we're stepping in that stream, if you want to say, look unto the Lord. I mean, I got told yesterday, hey, my pastor has COVID. The pastor told me, can you come up and preach in LA tomorrow? So I am putting this podcast out. I won't edit it. I'm going to get another message for like 3 or 4 hours tonight, get up at 6 a.m, go to LA, and they'll probably go with me. It's going to feel way different, even if the kids have meltdowns, that they're with me, than if I'm just up there by myself. But I'm Brian. I have the Lord. Of course I do. But the more I'm closer with my wife, and I'm going to plan the day to some degree because I got to preach. And once we're done, babe, what do you want to do? I want to go here. I want to go do this. We're in Santa Monica. You know, that's just life. And that's the two, the ish and the ishah in the Hebrew. So anyway, but yeah, Dave was figuring out what he's going to do with money. And so what was the next steps? Were your parents excited? Or, I mean, were you guys already telling each other's parents?
Yeah, so that conversation, you know, he told me that he loved me and that the goal of this is marriage, you know, and we talked about, like, it's important that while we love each other, that we love God 10 times more. Or else this is, you know, nothing in us is good. If we only love each other, it's not going to be any good. We have to, like, love God first. And we have to pursue God and push each other towards God so that we can love each other well. And then, you know, talking about marriage, and he's like, okay, well, where are we going to move? And I had already, you know, been praying because I liked him so much because we were dating. And again, the end goal being marriage, like, okay, God, like, where do we go? Where are you leading us? And it was pretty clear to me that God said, you know, Michigan is where we're going to go. And it's a big change. I've never not lived with my parents. You know, we stayed together in Austin because to move out is crazy expensive. So you just live with your family if you get along with them as long as you can. So I had only lived with my family. My family's super tight-knit. I'd never even been to Michigan before, and God said go. So I was like, okay. And obviously my parents were sad to, like, know that I'd be leaving eventually, but overjoyed to have Dave, and, like, they knew I was in good hands and stuff. So,
well, then you don't get grandkids and, you know, another legacy of this all doesn't happen. I know for me with my daughter, you know, Dakota, my son, is getting married in April. I'm going to do the ceremony.
Yeah,
it's messing my wife up because she's like, I'm so thankful. You know, his fiance is amazing. Couldn't pick someone better. But it's still the mom's little boy leaving, where I'm like, yes, I'm going to miss seeing his face. They'll be over here loads anyway.
Yeah.
But as a man, that's the next stage for him. You know, it just feels right anyway. When my daughter one day, I'm going to be like your dad, probably. Buddy Danny said, you know, when his daughters would get married, he'd almost go and lay in their bed when they left and just be like, oh my gosh, this is. But that's why, you know, a man leaves his father and mother is cleft together with his wife. You guys are now one. So that all starts. Okay. And then Dave, you're doing a chapter of Malchus based on the guy in the Bible whose ears chopped off by Peter.
Yeah. From there, you know, we knew that we kind of wanted a short engagement. So, you know, we were engaged and I was, you know, working on our house, trying to get that all ready for when we were going to get married, and then doing, you know, doing ministry whenever we could. And that's kind of when the most that we would see each other in that time of engagement was we'd be meeting up for ministry events that Malchus would bring me out for, and then her family would come. And
it was like the year of, you know, long distance. I obviously lived in Texas up until we got married. So we really
explain that her. You guys didn't spend the night together and went alone together.
In a car alone together until we were married.
Her brother would be in the
Elijah. You know, my brother Elijah.
Third wheel.
Yeah. And, like, that was what was so good about going through your book before, because, you know, like, as you said, the world has like a definition of what dating looks like normal.
Yeah.
So like, I remember even just letting people know, you know, whenever I go visit, you know, her brother's with us and her family's with us. And I think that even like among some Christians, like that's kind of a weird thing, you know, but like we both, we're learning like what that, you know, what God honoring courting actually looked like. And you know, once we were moving into summer, then we were only a few months away. And then, it all was approaching really fast.
As
then that's when I messaged you. And then, you know, we both were like, we think it'd be really cool to have Brian, you know, be at the wedding and officiate it and everything. So, yeah, it was just an amazing time to really like things were going to change real quick. Like, and everyone that was from the outside looking in, they're like, man, like, and a lot of my friends hadn't even met her yet because I was going to Texas a lot before she actually came here just because, you know, eventually we had to get her whole family up here. So I think it was in May.
Yeah, I wasn't, it was easier for him to come visit because I wasn't going to travel by myself. Just lived in an apartment. Like when he came to visit, it's my family. So we were, you know, it's easier. We didn't ever want to put ourselves in a situation.
Yeah.
But you know, something happened.
Yeah.
And we were constantly surrounded by people. Most, you know, my family just being our accountability for us. And
I guess if we could be an encouragement to anybody, kind of.
Yeah.
That is, you know, that is pursuing someone that is looking to honor God in their dating. All of that was so worth it. And just, you know, it definitely is a little bit difficult sometimes. And it is like, man, like we got, you know, all this time like away from each other and now we're together. And now like, it's hard to have kind of that alone time, but it was so worth it to do that. And just having amazing people like you and, you know, other people in ministry being there to encourage us and all that was so good.
Jonathan and Tim, everyone kind of rooting us on, checking in on us. And
but there are couples that have done this. I mean, it is the biblical way. You know, there's a reason why, and I know in the book, you know, it's been in Christian teachings for ages, but there's the covenant and the contract, and a contract's like, I'll do my part if you do yours. But covenant is actually what a marriage is. You know, you take the last name, there's a shedding of blood. The first time people are physical, the consummation, blood represents, you know, sacrifice and bonding, and the ring signifying, you know, eternity in that sense. And so why wouldn't people make the biggest decision they could make and do it right? And obviously, you know, in Jerusalem back in the day, they would have lived in close proximity normally, but the guy would go away like Christ is now to prepare a place. And then when the bride is called, she goes to be with him. I mean, the Bible, you've heard it, but it's a story of marriage. It begins in Genesis, ends in Revelation. King Jesus comes to slay a serpent to redeem the bride. So this all fast forward. You want someone with a funny English accent to do the ceremony. We all come out there to Texas, and I mean, it was a crazy few days, right? There was lizards, those big spiders, a ram, loads of different people out there, you know, robbing them, Bo from RDA, and all kinds of people. And
we had you officiating, and then along with my dad's the most, you know, the biggest crybaby out there, the biggest heart ever. So I remember asking him, I was like, do you want to walk me down the aisle and officiate, or do you just want to officiate, or just do one or the other? And he's like, I want to officiate it, but I don't think I can handle walking down the aisle.
He stood next to me for a little bit.
You guys are right there. So then I was like, okay, well then I'm, you know, ask Tim. We call him my Florida dad. And so we were out there for a ministry trip with some family, and I just asked him, I was like, will you walk me down the aisle? And so then we had Jonathan did our communion. We took communion together for the first time, you know, on the altar. And then Rob and Jen anointed and prayed over us. And it was just a big, beautiful picture of the church. Really,
you're saying you liked doing it the Christian way. You liked the way God ordained it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just having everyone from ministry there that, you know, from his side of his ministry, like in the Midwest, and then all the Texas ministry and the Florida and everyone I had met from like my ministry, and how they just intermingled and like how crazy, like, it all came together. And then, you know, we had the mini ramp at the reception. So the end of it was just like fellowshipping and skating and eating tacos, like our favorite things. And it was beautiful. Well, it was
incredible. As all this is going on, here's the thing. So it's been what, about a year and a half now? You're saying October. So, okay. So we read Song of Songs and we hear about foxes in the vineyard, and we understand this verse to mean, you know, there's your vineyard, you planted it, there's all that's going on. The foxes will come in, try and wipe things out, destroy things. I mean, even Jesus referred to Herod as a fox, so it's a negative thing. So now, as a young couple, you know, before kids and stepping into, obviously, Dave, what you're doing with your career wise, you guys, what you're doing together, what have you found that's necessary? And let's be realistic. If you are living this Christian life, I don't mean you just go to church and have a Bible. You could be going to work and thinking about the secretary, or going to the workplace thinking about your boss. I mean, talking to people from the past. But how have you, as a young couple, or what would you say to people to say, man, we know there's foxes out there. There's things that want to come into our life, or the enemy that wants to sabotage what God has done, this beautiful picture. What kind of boundaries did you set to say, like, hey, this is how we want to protect from future fallings or just chaos in the marriage? You know, any thoughts like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think just us regularly saying out loud and acknowledging that we have to be putting Christ first. And having Lyle, the day that I asked him to marry Emma, he laid it out so clearly that we have to strive to put him first and have him centered. And just with life, so many things, just it's easy to get like day to day, just so busy with like our career and then just traveling and all that. And I think us just being grounded and then really just having that time to acknowledge, just to do everything we can to know that we're staying grounded and not allowing ourselves to let the, you know, just life and the busyness of life get in the way of that. And then also too, just surrounding ourselves with mentors. And like, there's so many people. Michigan just has something about it. Like there's probably five ministries like that I can just name right now, all in Michigan. And we know that it's important to regularly be in attendance. Not that just going to these events is going to make our marriage so great, but like, you know, pressing into that and then having conversations just with people and, you know, having people like you pour in us and, you know, all that.
It's just so, like, fellowship is a huge thing, and like who you surround yourselves with is a huge thing.
Definitely.
And so, you know, he has a Bible study that he does at our house on Thursdays with the guys. And then in the basement, it's like the girlfriends and the wives and all of our girlfriends, we get together and do something down there. Wow. And it's just even just making sure like, we're surrounding ourselves with people who are gonna, one, if we're ever out of line, put us back, check us, you know, keep us accountable. But just who you surround yourself with and what you surround yourselves with is so important. And especially being in ministry, like we're called to be in the thick of it. We're called to go out into that. And, you know, you have to, when you're not doing that, surround yourself with people who are gonna lift you up and who are gonna point you to Christ and who you can point to Christ. And then also, I think just like communication is a huge thing. Honesty,
number one,
and communication. Like, being long distance for so long, got really good at communication because we didn't really have any other option, which was something that was new for me. Because again, I have a lot of walls. I don't enjoy being vulnerable. I don't enjoy being submissive, and so having to, you know, talk about my feelings was very uncomfortable at first. And it was something we had to work on a lot, but I think I've gotten better.
Oh, definitely. I mean, well, like for me,
you can't read my mind.
Well, right away, like, if, you know, any like argument or conflict that comes up right away, I'm just like, all right, like, what do we got to do to fix this?
That's
like,
how I am.
Because I can't eat. I can't feel normal. And like, I don't care what I'm going and doing. If there's a conflict, like, I cannot be myself right now. Even if it looks like it, I'm not it's not good.
That's a lot of men. That's a lot of men who said they end up, you know, I basically say you get castrated, because if you're with someone that will just throw it in your face or won't be open or direct, the man can't fix things. Not that they all want to. I'm not saying, you know, the drunk dad or whatever. I'm not just glorifying men, but I'm saying it to a point of for me, if something's off, I'm like, I need to get this figured out. I almost have a list of like, okay, I'm good with God because of Christ. Here's how my house is going to be. And then the day when it's too much, if I don't care right then, I know it's not good. Because you've got to, you know, squash it all and get it to where it is. And you guys both made an amazing point there that I hope people realize. You're talking about a life of accountability, a life of fellowship, a life of ministry. All that is when we have the book of Acts, as they had everything in one accord. That accord was in Christ and the Holy Spirit, but it was a life of living intentionally. How many months can you go having this Bible study, Dave, and Emma hanging out with the mums and the wives downstairs if you're both living hypocritical lives, whether together or not? You know, and you even talked about this feeling of distance. I know one of the things I might put in the book when we redo it is just how hearing how an army leader would teach these soldiers how to overcome torture. And he said, there's two things I can do to them. If I can separate them and make them feel alone, or if I can make them feel hungry for something, they will eventually break. So they'll take these soldiers, get them away from everyone, which when you think about marriage, the one thing you're meant to be the most close with a person, a best friend, you know, for Emma saying, I'm not comfortable telling you all these things. Well, if you could tell a best friend, that person needs to be Dave, you know, even when you have those clashes. But if there's distance in the marriage, whether it's prayer, whether it's being in the Bible, whether it's being physical, it will eat you guys up. And the other thing is when these soldiers were hungry and they'd been like 4 or 5 days with no sleep and going crazy, and someone's going to offer them, you know, their favorite drink or food just to give up information. Likewise, in a marriage, when there's distance, when they're alone, that's when they'll compromise. That's when they'll have that conversation. That's when they'll send something they shouldn't. And that's all the enemy does, those same things. So, I mean, for you guys, I feel like if I was sitting with you counseling, I'm like, well, obviously you're focused on the faith and on the podcast. You probably read the book more than most other people, you know, and disclaimer, I didn't tell them to bring up the book a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah, we just really.
I wrote it to encourage people, so I'm glad it does. So you're just telling basically young couples, hey, you know, I get that these people say they have great marriages when they're not in the faith, but I'm like, I don't really know how. There must be other wheels turning.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
People, I mean, that was just the biggest thing that we've learned is communication.
Right. And we had to learn that, to balance that, because again, he's like, let's solve this now. And even now that I can tell him everything now, it's much, much easier. When we first started, I was very like, I don't know. But, it's for me, I'm still like, I need a second, because I don't want to say something out of, you know, frustration, or, you know, the tongue is sharp and I don't want to say something that I don't mean and hurt you. So I want to solve this, but I just need like 2 seconds by myself to just calm down. Yeah. And so we found that balance.
We found it. Yeah. Cause immediately, even like in skateboarding, like I want it to be exactly how I envision it. And, I don't know, like I've had to learn that I can't just try, I can't fix it right away. Like I need to understand that she needs time. And we both are now, you know, like it really hasn't been that long, but we've come a long way, and, you know,
it keeps going. It's a work in progress. You know, it's like Christ had to die for his marriage. That's what men need to do. And Emma, the worst thing you're going to say is something to Dave that makes him feel like he's not making this decision for you or the family to honor God. Because for a man, once he feels disrespected, you know, it's like, what? And for a woman, she isn't feeling heard or loved, then she's like, feels scorned. You know, it's the worst thing. So
I've got, again, I've grown a lot in it, in my faith. But when I was younger, I was very, very hot tempered. And so I have to keep that in check still today. You know what I mean? So it's like, you can, you know, be by me. We can sit next to each other, but just don't say anything. Don't, you know, ask me questions. If you want to calm down before, I don't want to snap and be the wrong way towards him. So we found that balance, but communication is definitely, you know, everyone says that when you're in a relationship, like communication is key. It like really is. And communicate with each other, but then also, again, even in those moments, just seeing what the end goal is, and like remembering like who God is in all of this. And one of the things that like I was told one time by a pastor dealing with my hot temper and stuff was, okay, when something comes up, think like, does this thing, does it change any of the promises of God? The answer is always going to be no.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter. That's the end of it. So of course there's little tips where I'm hungry and you know,
that's a big one. I'm not kidding. Like that hangry idea. How many times in our house when you've got three kids and then us and we're like, where are we going? And now our kids are older and they're more fussy. We haven't even got to get into it. And we're almost like, look at how crazy they all are. And then we just kind of do our own. Yeah. But you know, I was in a store yesterday with a friend of ours, me and my wife, and we'd seen a friend's wife and they just made a big decision, a big purchase. You know, he'd been a pro athlete in the Olympics and all the rest, and they'd stepped into this season. And one of the things she just said, and she'd be fine with me sharing it, was like, man, we just ended up getting this property and it was a big deal. And I just was like ready to pray more about it. And he was like, babe, we're just all in. And she's like, I had to really just take that opportunity and to submit and say, you know. And I'm like, yeah, submission doesn't mean you always agree. You know, I don't submit to things I don't agree to. I agree to them. This is great. But when it's something I don't, one of the things I said to her back to the male covering part is, look, if he's been the four or so Olympics and you guys have been successful, if you're comfortable going into this decision by faith, you're going to honor God. Even if you make mistakes, God's going to redeem everything if it's put in his palms. And for you as a wife to stand there and come alongside and say, babe, you know what? I'm trusting you in this season because I know for one, that husband is going to fight for all that he has if something went wrong. And for one, you're going to learn a lesson. And God's going to show you how to make a better decision next time. And if your trust isn't in the world and these things anyway, it's just a faith journey.
Right.
That's it. You know, no one's at the houses. Look at what we're using. Zoom didn't. I mean, we're so spoiled. The drink that's next to me, the snacks. I mean, there's America. We're all mad because of this or that. Let's just leave it with Christ, you know. I know we've been about an hour or so, and David said sometimes they go too long. But so now you're married. Life's moving forward. And here's just to slightly change gears. So, Dave, you had a snow skate video that came out, about a month ago. What was it called for those who can look it up on YouTube?
It was called Sola Fide.
Yeah,
and the Barracks actually put it out on their YouTube.
Yep.
So, in the winter, I snow skate, and that's a lot of people when they hear that they automatically think of like snowboarding.
Yeah.
But for people who don't know, picture a snowboard, but you're not strapped in, and it's about the size of a skateboard, and it's really and it has grooves on the bottom so you can track and go straight and lock into rails and stuff, but it's basically a skateboarder's best friend if you live somewhere like Michigan where in the winter you have snow.
On the skate park, you can take this board and you can roll up to the handrail and do real skate tricks and it's not attached to your feet. That's basically
exactly what you have grip on the top and you can do flip tricks. I mean, I don't really do the flip tricks, but
And Sola Fide, what does that mean?
So I wanted to name it Sola Fide because Sola Fide is basically the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. And, me and Emma are very passionate and just about our doctrine and just, I guess, you know, we don't really fully have to get into it of like, oh, like we're,
yeah,
you know, yeah, Reformed Calvinists or whatever, but like we definitely, our doctrine, I guess, would be more Reformed. And I think that, you know, I wanted to put out this part to kind of hint toward that.
Yep.
And, you know, the Ambition Snow Skates is not a Christian snow skate company or anything, but all of my graphics, I always try to theme to somehow point to Christ, and like my newest graphic is like a foot crushing the serpent's head and then, you know, kind of go with like a stained glass theme. And
I'm saying that because when I see it and I see here's Dave's video, Sola Fide, I go, that's faith alone. And the reason I even brought this up is because here you are married with more at stake, you would think, putting out a video part that clearly is pointing to justification by faith. You know, we're believers and Christ on a work, and most people won't even get this. You know, even the brand Sovereign. But this video comes out, gets hundreds of thousands of views. It's on one of the biggest sites out there. You're clearly about your faith. I'm sure that's helped them put things out there. But at what stage did you make this choice that you were going to just be, you know, Josh Garrels, he did the last episode. And one of the things that I asked him was, you've been in this industry, the music industry, you know, he has millions and millions of downloads for his songs on Spotify, and he's toured for 20 years, and he's very acclaimed. You know, he's a great musician, probably lives somewhere by you guys. But he just said, you know, you see these young artists, and he wanted to be so graceful and, you know, full of mercy for why they were doing it, but they would almost be so afraid to say they were believers because they felt like they couldn't reach the world if they said they were. But really what you do, if you just nullified the whole idea of what being a believer is, any of our friends who don't know Christ who come watch this say, wait a minute, you guys courted and dated for over a year and didn't spend the night alone together because of God, there's the witness. So I'm saying that for you, putting that out there, what stage in your life did you say, I'm going to live this career of a ripping skater that kills handrails, skates a load of stuff, now this platform? How did you make that choice? And you say, Lord, I'm doing it all your way, rather than keep it hidden in the back room. And like, when they ask, you're like, yeah, I love God.
You know? Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely need to say that for a while, it was definitely kind of hidden in the back. And, you know, there is that hesitation of, all right, well, if I go out and I'm like a super open Christian, especially on Instagram, immediately some people are going to see that and just be angered by it. And, you know, I have received some of that for sure, even on that video part. But I really think that it just took to the, it really was just coming to that point where I wanted to just be fully used by God, not half. And whenever he was telling me to reach out to certain individuals, because in skateboarding, you do meet all types of people. I feel like in skating, you meet the most, more, I guess, groups of people than really anything else, right? So I knew that this would be a really, really good, I guess, tool for God to use me in. And all I just want to do is be obedient to him. And I think it just kind of took me just, you know, not meaning that I have to get on Instagram every day and like, I'm going to post a Bible verse every day and now I'm being obedient, really just kind of being open and then allowing me to just be open about my faith, but then not pushing it on people where like I'm expressing that if you aren't a Christian, then I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to have
which interest. Is not what any of us believe.
No,
right? And they have kids, so they're not going to follow someone who's going to post them taking bong rips and showing off someone's chest, or just, you know, going against anything that I think smart for my kids to be aware of right now. But
exactly, yeah.
What, and just so people who are listening say, well, why do Christians even have to put this out there? Because Christianity is a rescue mission. Don't think of the old guy in the pulpit who might have made you mad when you were a kid, or parts of the Bible that you misinterpret. Think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who lived, died, resurrected, so we can be forgiven. And you might be that kid at the skate park who hates this or hates that, or the atheist or whatever it is, or someone that misunderstands Christianity. And even through something like this, or Dave's part, or whatever it is Emma's going to be involved in, you're going to hear about this rescue mission where God so loved the world, he sent his son. So anyway, you got some flack for some of that, but you just made the decision. God has blessed me with all this anyway. I want to be a light in the skate world, so.
Right, and I think, you know, I have been very blessed to be, you know, just on Pyramid Country, you know, a team that is a part of Thrasher, and just being on these trips. And really, I know that, you know, I think it's good for Christians to not only be in Christian companies.
Of course.
Ultimately, that's just being like only Christians are in churches and they can't go out of the church. But really, like, we're called to be the light in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. So yeah. If I can just be a little bit of that, then I feel like I'm like, at the very least, I feel like I can be open about my faith while being a part of these companies. And it really just, the amount of conversations that have come up from it are just awesome, because I can explain to people like, look, I definitely understand why if you hear the word Christianity right away, you're going to be thinking that I'm, you know, up here just acting perfect and that, you know, pointing out everyone's faults, but I'm the one that has, like, I'm the one that has the faults, and I, you know, I was thirsty and I found water, and I'm trying to tell you now where I found that, you know, and
it is going to sound judgmental, because you are saying God has told us we've all sinned, John 3:18, we're already condemned, the man he wants to do a work, and the problem's going to be you don't want to hear that. I wouldn't want someone telling me that if I'm just living my life. But just like you said, you're believing. I mean, Emma, you're talking about your parents raising you this way, and you're talking about, you know, having this kind of amazing life. And it's not because of wealth and all these things. It's because your parents loved you and they stayed together and they trusted Jesus. And now you guys are going to live that way. And we're going to do these things because we want to see our friends forgiven of sin with God, for us not to want to share. Now, granted, you get in a van and people are doing certain things. But if I was your guys' age and I could be out there skating, jumping off stuff like I was, I'd be riding for whoever, doing whatever out there in the world and just living, pointing to Christ. But God called me to be like, okay, you're going to do these Bible schools. You're going to go and preach a lot. I had to be who I was. That's obedience, you know? So, but you're seeing fruit of all this anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so just, even just when we have people that we have working on our properties or that we just meet through our career now, it's so amazing to see what God has done and how he uses even just our story of meeting and getting married as a way to point to Christ and then lead into the gospel from there. And I don't know, that's definitely, it's just, I'm seeing now the plan that he had, and I'm just so thankful that, and I still just can't believe that that prayer of just finding a godly woman that would encourage me to do what I love doing. I mean, and that skates and her parents skate and just everything. That's, it's amazing to think that not only have I received forgiveness and reconciliation and all that, but this on top of that. And it's just all like, if God can get the glory out of that, then, you know, mission accomplished. So, yeah, I love having opportunities to talk to people about that in skateboarding. Amen. And then seeing how he's kind of moving us also into like kind of our career and using it in that as well. So,
yeah, because it's going to be a different stage at some time. Like for me, yes, I'll go out and skate. Yes, I have a wheel and embrace. But I mean, I'm doing the podcast. I'm planning tonight to prep for that sermon tomorrow. To a skater, you're like, well, what's Brian Sumner, if you want to say that, you know, doing now? Well, man, God redeemed me from a broken marriage, restored us. You know, I'm not suicidal. I've faced plenty of battles in my life, you know, with emotion, all the rest. But I'm saying, like, now I'm going to go preach to a bunch of people I don't know tomorrow, because the gospel is the most important thing. Skating is great, but like Steve Caballero says, it won't save you. Snowboarding won't save you. Jesus Christ said he alone is the one. There's no other way to get to the Father but through the Son. So, and here's the thing that I've been saying a lot lately. For however any person wants to live, if they hate God, if they want to lie, if they want to cheat, if they want to live however, it is better for you that I'm in your life as a Christian, because I'm called to love you. I see the world dividing over each more things than they think, or supposedly that the church is opposed to. But if we're loving Christ and loving them, then God's will be done. So any other thoughts, you guys? I know we've been on here for quite a while, but yeah.
Man, we're so thankful to be on, man. And it's, you know, if we can be an encouragement to anyone, you know, and I think something we want to say is, if anyone ever wants to reach out to us, you know, you know, we are here for you guys, and we're definitely, you know, just thankful to be in a community of people in skate ministry and then just skateboarding as a whole. The opportunity that we've had, God has really just blessed us in that. And
amen.
If we can be any, you know, just offer any word of encouragement to anyone.
Well, how could someone get a hold of you? What is both? For one, people will get a hold of you. They'll tag you. They'll follow you. They'll ask you questions. For your Instagrams, what are your Instagrams, or the best way to contact?
Yeah, my Instagram's EMM_AWW.
And then, mine is @DavidRyanEnger with underscores in between.
David Ryan Enger. So the way you get his name is by looking at the title of the podcast that you're listening to.
Yeah, you find one of us.
Well, guys, I mean, it's been awesome. I know we've got so many friends who'll be listening, and I'll be putting most of those on as time goes on. But, you know, I wanted to talk today about how you can honor Christ in whatever culture, profession, life you're in. That's any of us, you know. Like I said, someone could hear this podcast, and of all they heard, they just thought, man, they loved God, or they claim God is real, or it could be way deeper theologically, and God could really have ministered to them about marriage and the rest, or they go get my book. Thank you for that, God, if that's it. But for us closing out today, would you guys just close us in prayer? And if whether one of you wants to pray or people want to chime in, whatever you want to do, and then we'll.
Awesome. Lord, we're just so thankful for Brian and just the ministry that he offers. And Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of this tonight. We pray that anyone listening right now can just be encouraged. And we just pray that you can just raise up more people like Brian, and that there can just be people on fire for the kingdom, and that that you can just help us to be obedient what you've called us to do. We thank you so much just for the kingdom being built. And we know that no matter what happens, whether it be who's elected or just life bringing any other viruses or anything, your kingdom is going to stand and it's going to come to pass, and nothing is going to get in the way of that. So, Lord, we thank you so much. And we say this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, for those listening, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. What does that mean? It means that if this was 20 years ago, I'd be thinking about talking to some skaters, and I'd be thinking about getting to the skate park tomorrow, and that's awesome. But instead, in my mind, what might seem foolish to you is I'm about to prep a message that I'm almost there, 90% done, to go preach tomorrow. My wife's going to come home with some food, and I'm going to enjoy that God has restored our marriage. I'm going to hang out with my kids. And that while we're living in this world temporarily, that God has made a way for all of us to be forgiven our sin. All of us have lied or lusted, or just the fact that we have a problem with God. We're born separated from him. That means we're all going to die one day, and the Bible teaches us that we're guilty. We die because of sin. But what God did was he sent his son so we can freely receive this, freely put our faith in him. If you're a skater, a snowboarder, a mom, whoever, whatever you're doing, and reach out to us, let us know, get back into the word. Just like Dave said, he was raised in it, but he was about to get distance. He got into a church and community, felt the love of God. And please be praying for them, be praying for me. Thank you guys for the shares and the likes and all that stuff that doesn't matter, but it does. As far as what it does is it gets this thing before people. They hear about Christ, they're encouraged. And thank you for those who get the book and then comment and all the rest. I love connecting with you guys on the road, but thank you, Dave and Emma. Thank you all to our listeners. Any closing thoughts? God bless.
God bless.